Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast brought to you by CloudSpot, the easiest way to deliver and sell your photos online. I am your host with a head cold, Raymond Hatfield, and I really hope that you can get through today's episode with my cold and it sounding just a bit nasally because, well, I've had a bit of a revelation, I guess you could say. You know, this is the first episode of the new year. This is the first episode of 2023, and the start of a new year is always an exciting time for me, because it's a fresh start, and I love a fresh start. I love how complicated things can get sometimes in life, or I don't love that part, but I love being able to just wipe the slate clean and start over fresh. Love that fresh start. But this year, it's a bit different. This year is a bit different. And mostly it's because I've come to realize that for the past 10 years, I've been doing photography all wrong. And in these slower months, this time to be able to slow down, since I have now stepped back from weddings, I feel like I have seen the world a little bit clearer. And I want to come to share some of that information with you today, with what I have figured out in the world of photography and how I'm going to move forward and how you can do the same as well. But first, let me take you back to the beginning. So it was 2003 when I bought my first digital camera. I had to look this up. It was a Gateway DCT50. This thing was a 5-megapixel camera, and if you are wondering, yes, it is that Gateway, the computer company, not a camera company, a computer company. And if you're old enough to remember, it also did come in a box that was decorated like a cow. Well, I remember I wanted a digital camera because, you know, I think that there's something inside all of us, if you're listening, creating images has always been exciting, enticing, and wanting to be able to do that more often was something that I wanted, obviously. So all of my friends and their families, I guess I should say rather, had the Sony CyberShot digital cameras. They were cool. They were like a large, not a stick of gum, but like the pack of gum. You know, it was a rectangle, and it was just kind of like this iconic view of what the world of digital photography was to become, because it didn't look like a traditional point and shoot camera. It didn't look like a SLR at all. It looked like its own thing. And I applaud Sony still to this day for making cameras that looked like something entirely new. But I didn't have the money to buy a Sony CyberShot camera. So I had to buy an inferior camera that looked like just a point and shoot camera because that's all that I could afford. I bought the camera on what I could afford rather than tech specs. Now, before this day had come, I can't tell you how excited I was to open up that camera, get it out of the box, charge the batteries. Since before that moment, all that I had ever really used was disposable cameras, I treated this brand new Gateway DCT50 the only way that I knew how to handle a camera, which was to point and to shoot. And let me tell you, there were many cons to this camera, right? Mainly battery life. I think you could only take like 60 or 80 photos before the battery had died. Next was shutter lag. It was a solid 4 seconds between when you would press the shutter to take the photo and when the camera would actually take the photo. Like, no joke. Like, you press the button, like, oh, this is a nice scene. Press the button. It takes the photo. It was that long. There was nothing you could do about it either. That's just the way that the camera worked. And despite the flaws of this Gateway camera, the Gateway DCT50, it did build an unshakable foundation to what photography is within me. And without it, I don't think that I would be here today talking to you as a photographer about photography. I don't think that I'd be sitting here today because I don't think that I would have the knowledge that I have today because it wouldn't have interested me as much. So even though, as I said, a lot of downsides to that camera, I think that it made me who I am today and is going to frame the rest of this episode. When I was being 15 years old is an exciting time in your life because you're getting to the age to where you can almost drive and you feel like you're going to have some independence. And you keep looking to that moment of independence as this is going to be the Holy Grail. No longer will I be, you know, burdened to, you know, my parents to take me to the movies if I need to go, or take me to a friend's house, or just let me go where I want to go. I had had my sights set on a motorcycle for years. So when it came time to get a motorcycle, a road legal, a street legal motorcycle, I knew what I wanted. I wanted a Buell. And if you know anything about Buells, I'm guessing there might be one of you out there, maybe two. If so, hey, reach out. We should chat. Anyway, if you know anything about Buells, they're huge. They're massive motors, right? The Buell that I was looking at was a 1200 cc motor. It is bigger than some cars have. And my mom, God bless her, she said, you know what? I think 1200 is a bit much to start for a motorcycle. And in all honesty, it's not like I could actually afford one, but that is the bike that if there were no other boundaries, that is the bike that I would have started with, because that is the one that I had seen and I loved and I wanted that. However, what I did have enough money for was there was a kid in my school who was selling a Kawasaki Ninja. Ooh, sounds fancy, but hold on, wait. Kawasaki Ninja 250. And this is as low as it goes. This is the bottom of the barrel. This is the small, this is like, it might as well have training wheels on this thing. It is a tiny bike, but I thought this is going to help me get to my job. This is going to help me save for that bigger bike. I'm going to get this 250. So that's what I did. I bought this underpowered 250. And did it get me around town? Yes, it did. Did it sound as cool as, you know, this, this Buell 1200? No, it did not. Could it handle the streets like a Buell? No, it could not. But I will tell you, it taught me a lot of lessons about not only how to ride a motorcycle, but how to interact in and around others who are not in motorcycles. So two years later, I had the cash and the time came to get myself the bike that I wanted. And the Buell I was going to buy, the guy actually sold the day before I was going to go pick it up from him. But now I had all this money that was burning a hole in my pocket. I had to get a new motorcycle. And that's when I found a Kawasaki ZR7. This bike, the engine was three times the size. It was a 750cc motorcycle. And I thought, man, I really wanted that 1200. But when I got on that 750 for the first time, I immediately realized how thankful I was for not going straight to a 1200, because this 750 was more power than I had ever experienced. And it was still practically half the size, for all intents and purposes, of the bike that I wanted to start with. And honestly, if I didn't start with that 250, that taught me a lot about riding motorcycles and being a responsible bike owner. And I just went for even just starting with a 600 or a 750. Again, I don't know if I'd be here today talking to you. But my journey in motorcycles was very similar to my journey in photography. I wanted that top of the line, big, fancy camera, but I couldn't afford it. So I had to go with what I could afford. But that love for, you know, in my earlier case, just independence, you know, having my own motorcycle, being able to go wherever I wanted to go. Now, in this new case, my love for just creating imagery and seeing photos that, you know, you envision in your head and being able to put them on a computer and show to others and they say, oh, wow, that's really cool, was infectious. So even though it wasn't the perfect tool, it taught me so much about becoming the photographer that I wanted to become and that I am today. You see, we live in this world today where new photographers are, I see new photographers being more fixated on starting a business through their camera over the creative expression and storytelling that can be done with a camera. Despite having more creative tools at our fingertips than ever before, any generation in history. And we believe that because we have access to all of it, all this new creative tools, that we must use them all. Now, this is a problem because it causes fatigue. Fatigue because, well, there's just no way that we can get to, you know, have a working knowledge of everything in photography. But because that is the bar The artificial bar that we set, we get discouraged when we don't reach that limit within, you know, 24 days, let alone 24 months of picking up a camera, and we give up. Well, after 240 months, I've realized that I subscribed to this way of thinking for far too long. So this series is a warning to you not to fall into the same trap. This last year has brought not only a lot of clarity to my photography and the way that I shoot, but also, you know, changes to what I focus on and what I'm choosing to give up because it's no longer valuable to me. So let me tell you, if you have ever felt confused by photography, if you have ever felt overwhelmed by photography, if you have ever felt like, you know, you will never be as good as those photographers who have the, you know, $3,000 camera and that $3,000 lens, then this episode is for you, because today I'm going to give you my 10 rules for becoming the best photographer that you can while still being true to yourself. Today, I'm going to share with you the Beginner Photography Podcast Photography Manifesto. Now, don't worry, this isn't going to get all crazy. This is just 10 rules that are designed to guide you when you feel lost, inspire you when you feel empty, and give you the roadmap to become the photographer you can only dream of today. In this episode, I'm going to give you the rules, and I'm going to give you the overview of those rules. But in each month for the rest of the year, this is going to be an ongoing series, I'm going to break down, I'm going to give you a full breakdown with practical guidance of how to use this information and implement each rule so that you can take what you learn and apply it. Because it's not until you apply it that you become the better photographer. There are 10 rules that make up the Beginner Photography Podcast Manifesto. And they are: rule number one, the point of photography is to enrich the human experience. Rule number two, to be a halfway decent photographer, you must dedicate all of your time to it. Rule number three, moment matters most in a photograph, not settings. Rule number four, you don't need to know everything in photography to know anything. Rule number five, your camera gear is not holding you back. You are holding yourself back. Rule number six, if there's no intention, there's no image. Rule number seven, the only photographer you are in competition with is yourself. Rule number eight, community is the only external source that will make you a better photographer. Rule number nine, you cannot make money from your creativity as a photographer. And rule number 10, kill your photography teachers. Now let's dive into each rule just a little bit more. Photography Manifesto Rule Number One. The point of photography is to enrich the human experience. Let me ask you a question. Can the Mona Lisa make an impact to an empty room? The answer is no. What good is a photograph if nobody sees it? I'm not saying that you have to share your photos with the world. It could be with your family, you know, whatever. It can be a very small circle of people. But a photograph can connect with a person in a way that you as the photographer will never truly understand, because everybody's life experience predicates how they react to the world around them. So you have to share your work knowing that others will see it and they will connect with it. And because of that, their lives will be better for seeing your work. Rule number two. And again, in this episode, I'm going to give you the rule and I'm going to give you a quick overview. And in each month going forward this year in 2023, I am going to give you a full episode breakdown of each and every rule and then give you more of that practical information on how you can use these rules to actually apply it to becoming a better photographer. Rule number two, to be a halfway decent photographer, you must dedicate all of your time to it. It's not about ignoring all of your responsibilities. It's about thinking and seeing photographically in the gray areas. Like while you are driving home in the evening, wow, look at the way that you can see the sun setting through the trees. While you are grocery shopping, wow, look at all these beautiful repeating patterns. While you walk your dog, oh, you see that a squirrel is going to jump from one tree to another, and you can anticipate that moment where the squirrel is going to be perfectly between those two branches in the air. If
If you're ready to turn your lens towards a profitable future, but are unsure how to stand out in a competitive market, well, then I've got just the solution for you. I'm thrilled to offer you exclusive access to our free video training called Maximizing Mini Sessions. It's put on by the legendary duo Philip and Eileen Bloom. This video webinar is designed specifically for photographers like you who are eager to learn the art of effective marketing and promotion and who want to start earning money with your camera. This isn't about just taking great photos. It's about making sure the right people see them. Discover the power of mini sessions, the secret of promoting them, not just to get noticed, but to truly stand out. Learn the best timing and tactics to catch your audience's eye and get them in front of the camera. So if marketing has been your stumbling block, then wait no more. Visit beginnerphotopod.com/mini to sign up for your free video training now. It's time to put your photography in the spotlight where it belongs.
To be a halfway decent photographer, you must dedicate all of your time to it, which means to intentionally pay attention to those moments in between. Rule number three, moment matters most in a photograph, not settings. Moment over everything. A photo is three things. It is moment, it is intention, and it is light. When all you do is point and shoot, what makes a good photograph? Moment. You see, when I had that Gateway DCT50, and because of its extreme shutter lag, and I would have to wait 4 seconds every time I would take a picture for the camera to actually take the picture, what that did was build a muscle inside me for anticipation. Because I knew at the end of the day, when I would take my camera home and I would look at all of the photos, 99% of the photos would have one thing in common. I missed the moment. Because even if I could anticipate it, there was still that element of what could happen in the next 4 seconds. And it could change everything from a composition standpoint to a moment standpoint to even a subject standpoint. So being forced to know, I'm going to press this button and 4 seconds later, the camera's going to take the photo, forces you to look at the world around you. See what else is happening. What could ruin your photo? And how could you put yourself in a better position to capture the moment that you're looking for is going to build that strong foundation. When you look at those photos, when you get back to the computer, you load those photos into your computer, when you load them onto your computer and you look at them all, you don't care about the light. You don't care about the composition too much. You have a subject, and depending on what your subject is, you have a moment or you don't. Moment matters most, not settings. Rule number four, you don't need to know everything about photography to know anything. When Brian Caparici came on the podcast, he asked me a question that changed the way that I see the world. He said, if I give you a dollar, would you be rich? I said, no. He said, if I give you another dollar, would you be rich? I said, no. He said, okay, but at some point, you would say yes. And that number, well, it changes based on your life conditions. My 6-year-old daughter said that she would be rich if she had $47. My number is a bit higher than that. You might be a 6-year-old on your photo journey. And, you know, to you, rich is learning your camera settings so that you can take a photo that is not too bright or too dark. But for me, if that's all that I knew, not only would I not be, you know, thrilled about this, but I wouldn't have all the skills needed to shoot a wedding and earn an income. My first wedding, I thought I did a great job. I was rich. But today, I look at these photos with some embarrassment. Don't let the fact that you don't know everything stop you from starting. You don't need to have all the money in the world to have fun. You don't need to know everything about photography to capture a good photo. You don't need to know everything to know anything. Rule number five, your camera gear is not holding you back. You are holding yourself back. What makes one camera better than another? Is it faster autofocus, better low light performance, higher available shutter speed, higher resolution? Even the most entry-level camera you can buy today is better in just about every way than the flagship film cameras of yesteryear. Your camera is not holding you back. It's either your technical understanding or your imagination. The most creative version of an image is the smallest version. You don't need anything more than what you already have to be a great photographer. Rule number six, if there is no intention, there is no image. I watched the movie Amsterdam recently, featuring Christian Bale, John David Washington, Margot Robbie, tons more. There's a scene where there's a character played by the great Michael Shannon. He's talking about bird watching, and he says, "You know why I like bird watching? Because it forces you to choose what to look at. Making a choice is choosing your intention. The intention of exposure, your intention of moment, your intention of framing, your intention of your subject, your intention of light. These are the decisions you must make to call a photo your own. That is why I believe shooting in manual is so important. It forces you to choose your settings. Snapshots can be fine photos, but a snapshot is simply a document. Rule number 7, the only photographer you are in competition with is yourself. The Society of Personality and Social Psychology put out a report on counterfactual thinking. Super fun photography stuff, right? In this report, it says that when asking Olympic athletes who placed first, second, and third how they felt after taking the podium, the athletes who placed first reported that they most felt anxiety. The athletes who placed second said that they most felt shame. And the athletes who placed third felt most happy. When the facts said that the gold winner was the best, why did they feel anxiety? Because they knew that they would have to defend their title in the future. When the facts said the silver medal winner is the second best athlete in the world, why did they feel shame? Because they kept playing back their one mistake that cost them the gold. When the facts said, "You're the last place on the podium," why did the bronze medal winner feel happiest? Because they had trained for years, and hey, they get to go home with a medal. To be happy, you don't need to be better than everyone else, just better than yesterday's version of yourself. Rule number 8, community is the only external source that will make you a better photographer. When my son was a baby, he had no idea what he was trying to say. He had no English literacy, but that didn't stop him from trying to talk. But if we gave him a pen and a paper, you know, maybe a keyboard, if we gave him better gear, would that make him fluent in English? No, because he didn't know what he was trying to say. It took his community, my wife, myself, grandparents, what he heard on the radio, TV, podcasts, to teach him fluency in English. If he mispronounced a word, we would correct him. It's the same with you and your camera. If you don't know what you are trying to say, better gear will not help you. Figure out what you're trying to say. Photography is a journey of self-discovery, but community will help you with your skills. Rule number 9, you can't make money from your creativity as a photographer. Listen to me, money will always cloud your creative judgment. Photography for money is fine. I did it for years. I have no problems with it. But know that you will always be shooting for somebody else. Your followers are holding you back for the same reason. How many of us shoot for ourselves, and when somebody says they want to hire us because they like our work, well, then we just go to Pinterest and look at other people's work so that we can emulate that. When money is involved, there is a debt, and you want to make sure that the other person is happy for what they are buying. That can cause you to bend or pull back on your creative ideas. Listen, we have two buckets. Shoot for yourself and shoot for others. There will be some overlap, but they are not to be confused for being one and the same. And rule number 10, kill your photography teachers. Listen, you need to learn from others, but at some point, you have to stop looking at the work of others and create your own. The point of photography is to enrich the human experience. You now have the tools to do that. Learn just enough to start contributing. Other photographers are simply teachers. We go to school to learn how to learn and think for ourselves. That's why when we graduate, we have a commencement. Let life commence. How sad of a life to stay in school forever because, well, what good is knowledge without action? This goes back to the first rule. The point of photography is to enrich the lives of others. So go ahead, look to these other photographers. Look to me, not as a master. I am no master. I am a teacher. What you learn enough from me, go out and shoot for yourself. There is no perfect path in photography. No matter how many people you hear from, no matter how many YouTube videos you watch, there is no perfect path in photography. You have to forge your own. That is why we hear from photographers who have such a diverse background. They learned enough, and then they went for it. Go for it. Again, the 10 rules are: One, the point of photography is to enrich the human experience. Rule number two, to be a halfway decent photographer, you must dedicate all of your time to it. Rule number three, moment matters most in the photograph, not settings. Rule number four, you don't need to know everything about photography to know anything. Rule number five, your camera gear is not holding you back, you are holding yourself back. Rule number six, if there is no intention, there is no image. Rule number seven, the only photographer you are in competition with is yourself. Rule number eight, community is the only external source that will make you a better photographer. Rule number nine, you can't make money from your creativity as a photographer. And rule number 10, kill your photography teachers. Leaning into photography or image making, storytelling has made a profound impact on my life. And if you're here today, I'm willing to bet it's the same for you. There's a phrase, a lived life is a disciplined one. As Joe McNally famously said on the podcast, a camera is a passport to experience. The better you are with a camera, the more experience you will have with your life. The more you realize you are your own photographer, the stronger your message becomes. The more you open yourself up, share your work with others willing to help, the faster you will grow. The more you use your camera, the more you can enrich the lives of others. Listen, photography is not like riding a bike, where once you learn it, you know it forever. Photography is a muscle. Muscle takes discipline and reps to grow. And the second you stop working on it, they atrophy. How many photos do you need to take to stay sharp with your photography skills? Well, only you know that. It could be one photo a day. For Chief White House Photographer Pete Souza, it was 600 photos a day. Only you will know. But I promise you, it's more than zero. Look, I know it is easy to create lofty goals, New Year's resolutions, the ideal outcome. But when it comes time to put in the work, somehow life gets in the way. There's yard work to do. The kids need to go to soccer. You have a big project of work that needs to be done. I get it. Let me help you. Let me be your cheerleader. Head over to beginnerphotopod.com/rules to not only find a printable version of these 10 rules that you can keep in your photo bag, save to your phone, hang above your computer at work, whatever, but also you're going to get monthly check-ins, reminders, tips from me to keep you on track. Again, beginnerphotopod.com/rules. One thing is for sure, the only way you will become a better photographer is to shoot. Every shot doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It won't be a masterpiece. In fact, it might be garbage. That's fine. It's great. Just because you can't run a marathon each day doesn't mean settling for going on a walk is a waste of time. I would rather have garbage than nothing at all. One will always be better than zero. One will always be better than zero. And the only way to become a better photographer is to shoot. So, watch one less YouTube video and take photos of your dog sleeping. Listen to one less photography podcast and go on a walk around your neighborhood and take photos of all the plants growing out of the cracks in the streets or the sidewalk. Spend 10 less minutes on Instagram and daydream about the photos on your creative bucket list. Make progress. Beat zero. Take the photo. beginnerphotopod.com/rules. Let me be your cheerleader and imagine the progress you will make by this time next year. Protect your creativity at all costs. Keep shooting.